How precious and glorious His word is. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And one recognizes a true child of God by whether they have a longing to hear the true word of God. Then no journey is too far, no expense too great. For the prophet already said in the Old Testament, the time is coming when God will send a famine upon the land, not a famine of water and bread, but a famine to hear His word. Not interpretations of His word, but His word, the original word. We are very grateful to the Lord for the great privilege in our generation that we have heard His word fresh from the throne, that we may receive it, believe it, and also experience its fulfillment. Last Sunday in Zurich, I read from a sermon by Brother Branham, in which he says, God blesses Israel only in the land of promise. And I am not twisting scripture when I say that God can only fully bless the church from the nations when it comes to the ground of the divine promises for our time. For God is, after all, bound by His word. And when we stand upon His word, believe it and receive it, then He blesses us for the sake of His word, which we believe. There are certain guidelines that God has set which we cannot and do not wish to go beyond, for we do indeed want the Lord to bless us. We have already heard a number of things in the word that was read to us. God will give His people a heart to recognize Him, to listen to Him, to believe Him, a transformed heart, a new heart, a new spirit, so that we may receive the new things that God is doing. We already have the promises in the Old Testament that God will do something new, something that has never been done before. And we may indeed expect that in our days, what has never happened before will take place. God has reserved it for His own sovereign power to act and to bring His word to fulfillment in those who believe it now. We shall return to the book of Joshua. But since we have heard this opening word, let me read two or three passages beforehand. In Jeremiah 24, I shall read verse 7 once more. And I will give them an heart to know me, that I am the Lord. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God. For they shall return unto me with their whole heart. Here we are thinking of two or three scriptures in the New Testament. Above all, they shall return unto me with their whole heart. Let us complete this thought. Whoever turns to God with all their heart will receive a full revelation of God, will be introduced into the whole counsel of God. Whoever turns with a half-hearted commitment will have half measures throughout their whole life, and in the end, it will not be enough. God wants us holy, our heart, our soul. Indeed, we are to love Him with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, with all our strength, even with our minds. Where there is complete devotion to the Lord, a complete sacrifice on His altar, there God will be able to perform a complete work in the person. And such people no longer belong to themselves, but to the Lord. This promise too, and I will give them an heart to know Me. Through revelation, everything that comes from God comes through revelation. No one can explain it to another. It must be revealed by God. And this revelation leads to our knowing the Lord. And then we have the promise, and they shall be My people, and I will be their God. We need nothing more. If we are truly God's people, and God is truly our God, then He will provide for everything in the midst of His people until we pass from believing unto seeing. Two passages. One, you shall be My sons and daughters, My people, and the other, to know the Lord. One is in the Epistle to the Philippians, as Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. I want to know Him and the power of His resurrection. So writes an apostle after many years of his ministry. We too wish to know our Lord more deeply, to get to know Him better in every area, in every way, so that He does not remain unknown to us, but may reveal Himself to us. Then we also have the well-known passage in 2 Corinthians, chapter 6. 2 Corinthians, chapter 6, verses 16-18. And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be My people. Isn't that wonderful? God wants to be our God. We may, indeed, we are His people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be My sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty.
Welch ein
What a wonderful word. A calling out of the true Church of Jesus Christ, which is destined to receive the word, to believe the promises, and to become sons and daughters of God. As for going out, we will have understood. When we read the Old Testament, we shall come back to it just now. Then we see a leading out from a situation, from a land, for example, from a bondage. And then a leading into the promised land. I believe that the time of the final calling out is, according to Revelation 18, verse 4, more relevant today than ever before. Revelation chapter 18, verse 4. And I heard another voice from heaven, saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. We need not read any further here. The overall description in Revelation 17 and 18 reveals quite precisely which institution is being referred to and who and what is meant by it. One must first come out before one can come in. So it was with Israel back then, and so it is with us today. If we look at the matter purely from an earthly perspective, then everything is indeed being called back into this great mother's womb. All the deviant, splintered factions are indeed to return, but the Lord is calling out. And he is not calling back to Rome. He is calling back to Jerusalem, back to the original word that went forth from Mount Zion, and as it is written, the teaching from Jerusalem. We know that all true prophets, and there has never been a pagan prophet, all the prophets whom God sent were Hebrews. For God had revealed himself only to this people, and Balaam, who wanted to play the prophet, brought the people of God to ruin. He did indeed open his mouth wide and said, He whose eye is open, and so on. But it was not open so much. Of course, he could see what God had done through Moses and for Israel. But he did not belong to the people of God at all. He had nothing in common with them, and could therefore neither be a blessing nor serve them. But he was not allowed to harm them either, for God had said, Only what I put into your mouth, that you will speak. But the true prophets sent by God came from the people whom God had chosen from among all the nations on this earth as his own. This people were destined to pass on his testimony and also to bear witness to the faith in the one true God, the living God, to all the other neighboring nations. Now that I have mentioned this thought here, that everything is being recalled and indeed is returning, a second thought comes to me. Just as the European peoples have shaken off the yoke of socialism and communism, so may God grant grace that the spiritual yoke of Rome may also be broken, and that all who have been destined for freedom in the kingdom of God may take hold of the freedom now. May they realize it and serve the Lord, dear God, just as we are told in the Word. Last Sunday in Zurich, I told my dream, and you know, I really dream, but I did mention it briefly. Tomorrow, it will be 14 days ago that I actually had a very strange dream. And as I said, I really dream, but in this dream, I was transported out into the open air. Behind us was a huge cathedral. It reminded me of Cologne Cathedral. But the gathering was in the open air. A huge crowd of people, press photographers, some filming, others taking photos. There was a massive gathering there. And now the leaders of the various communities were to line up with their backs turned towards this cathedral and were all to be dressed in the vestments of the Roman Catholic Church. And they were taken and lined up. I saw the row. Then they took me, lined me up with them. And I watched as the robes were brought in. They were more like a bishop's robe, and one by one they were dressed in them. And I just looked around, saw what was happening, and spoke the words, "I don't belong here, I won't let them dress me." I then stepped forward and wanted to see who was leading the whole thing, who was in charge. That was somehow in my heart, in this dream. I wanted to know who was directing the whole thing here. And you will just have to believe me. Whether the dream was from God, I cannot judge. But in any case, I can only tell you what I saw there. And when I turned to the left to see the chairman of the whole affair that was being conducted there, I was startled at that very moment, for I saw the devil standing before me, life-sized, also dressed in a magnificent clerical robe. And the words came out of my mouth. I did want to see the head of the whole operation, and I was truly startled, and then said to him, "You are Satan, aren't you?" That is what came out of my mouth, and I said it twice. And then I turned around and simply said, "I do not belong here." I saw the press photographers, the cameras rolling, there was a crowd gathered, but I managed to escape the whole affair. There is a people of God on earth who are not destined to walk the broad path with the masses, but to remain faithful to the Lord. But it could happen that pressure will soon be exerted, so that all those who are not yet participating at first be gently coerced into falling into line, so that, as I said, those wear fine robes, not just a village priest, but in the garb of a bishop, I would say. But, as I said, we are not destined for that. God has made provision for us to see through these things, to be able to make sense of them, and to know that He has a church which has been called out of this situation, so as not to share in the sins that have piled up to the heavens, but to share in what God is ultimately doing in His church. This was probably just a warning to point out what may happen shortly. Before the pressure is exerted with neither buy nor sell, there will surely be some diplomatic gestures made to draw in the last apostates. We, as the Church of the Living God, have recognized Jesus Christ as our Lord. We have been destined to bear witness to the truth, and we are part of what God is doing now, and we belong to the Church of Jesus Christ and not to the Antichrist system. You must understand us in this. We take no pleasure in speaking about the opposing side or in putting them in the right light so that people can see what the matter actually is. We too would prefer simply to preach the gospel and leave everything else aside. But we live in serious times, in a prophetic age, in a time when all these things matter, which have to do with Bible prophecy. They must also be included in the preaching, so that instruction, indeed everything that matters now, may be illuminated for God's people from Scripture, so that we too may take our stand before God in the Word. As I have just said, we do not enjoy it. It would be nice if we could at least go along with some of them without exposing ourselves to criticism. But we did not make that choice. God has ordained it so, and that is how it shall remain until the end. I would like to read another passage from Jeremiah 23, which I had opened whilst we were reading from chapter 24. Jeremiah 23, from verse 16. Jeremiah 23:16. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart, and not out of the mouth of the Lord. They say still unto them that despise me. Listen. Listen closely. They say still unto them that despise me, the Lord has said, ye shall have peace. God does not speak at all to those who despise him. To whom does God speak? To those who revere his word, who are ready to receive what he says and to correct themselves. But the false prophets, they say, thus saith the Lord, everything is fine, you have nothing at all to fear. And then we read on, and they say unto everyone that walketh after the imagination of his own heart, no evil shall come upon you. One must imagine people whose hearts are hardened, who defy God in the stubbornness of their own hearts and thoughts. And there too prophecies are diligently uttered. No harm will come to you. All is glorious and full of joy. And now comes the explanation in verse 18. For who has stood in the counsel of the Lord and has perceived and heard his word? and heard his word, not some self-conceived notion, but heard his word. Who has marked his word and heard it? Behold, a whirlwind of the Lord is gone forth in fury, even a grievous whirlwind. It shall fall grievously upon the head of the wicked. Let us read a few more verses. The anger of the Lord shall not return until he have executed, until he have performed the thoughts of his heart. In the latter days ye shall consider it perfectly. Amen. Why in the latter days? Because he will do it in the latter days. It is connected with a calling out, preparation, and completion, which indeed takes place at the end of days. And if you want to know exactly, these are the days of which the prophets spoke. We are living in the latter days, in which God is acting once more. People may not see this with a naked eye, but we have already recognized that God is at work in accordance with his word and the promises he has given. What delights me beyond measure, and I would like to say this right now, is the fact that the Lord God has condescended so much in our generation, in the pillar of cloud and in the pillar of fire, to make known his presence, his interest in his people, to show us that it is he who is at work, even though he used various men for this purpose throughout history, right up to the present day, who were prophets and had specific tasks to fulfill. But the one who is at work is God himself. Imagine if this had not happened in our generation, and I truly hope that everyone here today can believe, even if they are hearing this for the first time, that with the Bible open before the face of the living God, we are indeed speaking nothing but the truth. And if people were unwilling to believe us, that would be understandable. For it is still written that every man is a liar, and God alone is true. So it is written, and so it is. But we do not bear witness to what men have done, but to what God has done. And because God has done it, no one will stand his ground before him who wants to ignore it. Whoever ignores what God has done, ignores God. And there is no other path that could lead to the goal. It is then only one's own path that leads to ruin. So, we'll come back to this shortly, God willing. Now it says here, in verse 21, I have not sent these prophets, yet they run. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. And now comes this final declaration in verse 22. But if they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. Then they would not come and deceive the people, pretending to have a special connection with God, prophesying and operating other gifts, if they were truly sent by God, they would proclaim the word of God and not to leave the people on their own paths through pious sayings and to reinforce them in those ways. One example, we have after all now seen how this goes on in the charismatic meetings in Austria. Prophecies are spoken. One gets the impression that these people pull everything out of their head. I am in your midst and I bless you. One actually thinks heaven has come down. And when you then look out over the gathering, women, straight from the world, painted all over, in trousers and so forth, not a trace of the fear of God, all going their own ways. And then, thus saith the Lord, I am in your midst. No, that is not how my Lord speaks. My Lord says in his word, they have prophesied without my commission, have proclaimed things of their own devising, so as to strengthen the people in their own ways. People all go home, thinking the whole world is fine for them. It is not fine. And when will it be revealed? When the word of God is proclaimed. For these sayings have not helped anyone so far. On the contrary, just as it is written here, so it is. They have thereby strengthened the people in their own ways. Have you understood that? Of course it is so. But God does not want it that way. He does not want people to be showered with pious sayings and encouraged in their own ways, as if they came from God, but rather that the word of the Lord be placed in their midst and a divine decision be brought about under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. In how many directions is God supposed to go? To whom is he to align himself? What is he to declare as right? Leave all things to the right and left, and believe as the Scripture has said, for God will remain the God of his word forever. God is bound by his word and will fulfill it. Had they truly stood in my counsel, they would have proclaimed my words to my people and turned them away from their evil ways and their godless deeds. And as we read earlier, not to encourage them further. I do not wish to make this comparison, but it fits very well. There were indeed many men in our generation who came forward. They had a great deal to say and encouraged all religious fellowships in what they taught. They told them, you may remain where you are and as you are. Just be faithful and serve the Lord. But then there was a man who did not say, you can stay and believe and teach whatever you want. A man sent by God with the word of God, which had to be placed upon the lampstand. And all who are of God hear the word of God and receive it gratefully. In doing so, we do not glorify any human being. We respect divine decisions and are grateful that it has come to pass and that this word, we call it the revealed word, that this word has reached us. And do you know, it was this divine message that led us to understand the separation and calling out in the first place and to recognize its necessity. Have we understood that now? Of course. Otherwise, we wouldn't have known what it was all about. So, a calling out and a harmony with the entire Word of God, from Moses right to the book of Revelation. And I believe that none of us has any difficulty in believing what the fall was and all the other things, the mysteries which God has revealed from His Word. We admit that some things were hard for the mind to grasp, but since God has given revelation through the Spirit, we see things even when we cannot explain them so clearly in our own words. Thanks be to God that He has granted us the privilege in these days of the true Word of God, just as it once came fresh from the throne and was bestowed to the apostles and prophets, now fresh from the throne, newly revealed through the same Spirit, newly illuminated and placed in the correct context. God has done all this by grace. Let us return to Joshua chapter 1, for the Exodus under Moses and the leading in under Joshua certainly have significance for us too in these days. Joshua chapter 1 from verse 5. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. A wonderful promise. We read verse 2 yesterday evening, where the Lord gave the only obituary of its kind to be found. Joshua 1, verse 2, the Lord our God says, Moses, my servant, is dead. As I said, this was no pleasant matter for all Israel, nor for Joshua, and certainly not for Caleb, or for all who belong to the people of God. When such men of God go home, it is a great loss for the whole church. But God has always had a way. He did not stop with the taking of one of His messengers. He has always carried on. Let us consider in this case, when He took Elijah, Elisha was already there, and the work could continue. God never finds Himself in a predicament where He does not know what to do next. And we know that Elisha slaughtered the 12 yoke of oxen, and this was done so that he could never again return to where he had come from. It was no longer possible. For him, all bridges had been burned. He had settled accounts with everything, offered everything as a sacrifice, and stood at the disposal of the Lord God. And here too, someone might smile a little when they read in the Word of God that Elisha followed after Elijah. Then they would have said once again, oh goodness me, he's running after a man. You know, people always think in human terms, and they believe others are mistaken, when in fact they themselves are in error. Elijah knew what had to happen, And Elisha recognized it too. Even when Elijah said, "Stay here," he did not obey. He went on. He went on and on until he witnessed Elijah being taken up before him. He went the whole way to the end. He did not stay in Bethel nor in Gilgal. He went as far as the Jordan. The Jordan, after all, signifies death, separation, and what happened? He was granted a double portion. We do not follow a man, nor even a prophet. We are followers of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. But we thank God with all our hearts that the Word has been placed anew upon the lampstand in our days. If Moses has the Word of God, I will follow him. If Joshua has it, I follow him. If Elijah has it, I follow him. I want to be where God acts and walks. I want to be where God is doing something, not where people are philosophizing. Let us leave the philosophers aside and come to the Lord and have part in what He is doing. Let it be said once more, in earthly terms, it really did look as though this Elisha, who had previously been running after oxen, was now running after a prophet. One might have said mockingly, before he ran after oxen, and now he runs after this man. Blessed are all those who stop running after certain oxen and go where the Word of God is truly to be found. But for this it is necessary to burn all bridges, to make a sacrifice, and to render non-existent whatever might hold us back. Ashes remained, no ox and no harness, and therefore no more running after the oxen. But God simply arranged it so. He put it into His heart to do this, so that the decision might be truly complete and never again be reversed. How often do we still limp on both sides? Only when the complete decision has been made and all the chasing after the oxen has come to an end and we have realized that God has begun to work in our days according to His Word and will also complete the work He has begun, only then and in connection with this must we make a complete sacrifice so that we can never turn back again. Sometimes people say, "All right, I'll give it a try. I will come to you, and then I will see how I like it." Anyone who comes to us might as well stay away. But whoever comes to the Lord for the sake of the Word, let them come and stay and take the Word of God into themselves. After all, we didn't come to ourselves either. We came to the Lord. Thanks be to the living God for that. I mean, the time has come for us too to recognize these things very clearly, to offer a complete sacrifice, to lay our bodies upon the altar of God and say, "Lord, you can count on me." No longer on both sides, no longer as Israel said in its day, "Let us return to Egypt, to our garlic-flavored meals." Garlic has never smelled good, even if it is sometimes good for you. But no going back. Back where? To where God called us out from? Far be it from us. God called us out to lead us in, not to send us back. No. But there were many rebels, as the Holy Scriptures say, and they stirred up unrest among God's people. And so some were swept along. Joshua 1, verse 5. "There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life." Was this about a man? Surely not. But it was about the Word of God that had been placed in the Ark of the Covenant. It was about God having made a covenant, about God having given promises, and here God ruled and reigned. Even if from time to time he put forward a prophet or someone like Moses, God said, I have come down to deliver the people, yet I am sending you. God sends his servants at all times, but it is he himself who leads them out and who even back then exercised his mighty power through Moses so that all this might come to pass. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Now comes, and we must all bear this in mind, the comfort for Joshua. Be strong and of a good courage. Moses was dead. How should things proceed? Lord, how shall we proceed? What shall become of the people? What is the next step that must be taken? Lord, and we see that God is faithful. He says, be strong and courageous. At such moments, one can very quickly become discouraged. Do you believe that? The prophet, the greatest prophet, the Old Testament knew, has been taken. No more pillar of fire, no more pillar of cloud, no more answers as there had been at the entrance of the tabernacle. When the cloud descended and the Lord spoke to Moses face to face, all that was now over. Lord, how shall we proceed? We can well understand that Joshua too needed encouragement at that moment. For he too was only human, just as we are. And David exclaims at one point, I was in great distress for comfort. Even servants of God need courage and comfort in all circumstances, and especially when they bear a direct responsibility connected with the people of God. And I believe that we have become aware of this task. Here it says, be strong and courageous, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. It was no longer a matter of promises, but of taking possession of what was promised, of taking up the inheritance in the promised land. And I believe that we, as the church, as the called out church, must now understand what this is all about. Not a further delaying or postponing of the promises given, but coming into possession of all things, as Brother Branham spoke of in a sermon, into possession of all things that God has promised us. The example of faith is set before us in Abraham. He hoped and believed where there was nothing to hope for or believe in. And why did he believe? Because God had given him the promise. His faith was anchored in God's promise. And God's word stands as firm as the heavens. As this German hymn goes, the heavens may fall before his word deceives me. We, as the church, as the called out church, as the ecclesia, as God's favored and privileged ones, as the chosen and beloved in this last generation, may trust the Lord in faith that He is able to do truly everything He has promised. He did not only say to Moses, I will be with you, but in the time of Joshua too, the Lord was with His people, and the land was to be divided. People should no longer just say, yes, the Lord has promised. They should take possession of what has been promised. Do we understand that? Let us believe God in these days. And if it takes a little longer, then please do not fall into impatience or doubt, but simply give thanks to the Lord joyfully, for we know in our hearts that God will carry out and fulfill 100% what He has promised and set out to do. Can you say amen? With all your heart. There is no other way. And just as in the days of Joshua, God will indeed do something in our days too. And we will be able to say, there has never been a day like this before. I am counting on it, and God has indeed promised it, and we are more than welcome to refer to other scriptures. Then it says in verse 7, only be thou strong and very courageous. Do you notice how God comes to His servant's aid? He encourages him, telling him to be resolute, to be strong. For the matter you are facing is not your work. I will be with you, just as I was with Moses. Has not the Lord promised us to be with us always, even to the end? Question, will He be with us? Amen. That is what He said, and that is how it remains. We can rely on it. He will be with us until the end, until we pass from faith to sight. It continues here in verse 7, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This too is very important in relation to our own time. You all know it is written that all scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for doctrine and so on, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. But this admonition here, the words and the instructions, the law and everything that God gave to Moses, the Lord Himself then made it a duty for Joshua. He was not to deviate to the left or to the right. He was to remain with the original word of God. Not to the right, not to the left, not to interpret, not to offer one's own explanations. He was to remain with the original word, which was given by revelation through grace. I know this and say it here with a sincere heart. It is not a person's own merit if they remain in the Word of God. That is God's doing. It is the Lord God who acts, not a human being. Would we not also have been blown in all directions by the many winds of doctrine, especially if they came from the USA, which seemed to carry a special seal of approval from the outset? It makes no difference to us whether things come from the USA or the Soviet Union or anywhere else, nor what seal of approval they have. For us, only the word that came from God and was proclaimed to us through revelation by a cold mouth applies. And we have no need to seek after further things. That is always the big trouble. And I do not say this out of arrogance. I say this for the sake of the truth. Only those who have not recognized what God has spoken and given, and to whom it was not revealed, they are the ones who search here and run there, always seeking to find something new. Find something new? What someone pulls out of their sleeve? I don't need that. I can do without it. The word of our God has truly been revealed to us. And we have a living Bible because we have a living God. And the living God has revealed himself in our day as the living one. Anyone who still chases after one wind of doctrine here and another there has not yet taken to heart the Bible doctrine as it was proclaimed to us by a cold mouth. Hence the running about. It is exactly the same with special revelations. Whoever has received the true revelation of Jesus Christ, so that it has become a revelation to them, already possesses it. They do not run about. Whoever has found does not seek any longer. And here I am reminded of the word in the Old Testament, seek the Lord. Do not go to Bethel or to Gilgal or anywhere else, but seek the Lord. And whoever seeks the Lord finds him, at least if they seek him with all their heart. And whoever has found the Lord has found a gold mine. They have found everything that pertains to and is connected with the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we are united with the Lord God and are not people who run headlong through the land simply because someone thinks they must present something new as a revelation. How much has already been proclaimed? Thank God that we are allowed to remain with the original word. Just as God made it Joshua's duty to observe all the statutes, all the commandments, the entire law and all that pertained to it, and to abide by them, in the same way God has ordained us to take in the whole of the Old and New Testament, all the instructions, teachings and ordinances, all the revelations, everything that is in the Word of God, to believe in them with all our hearts, and to be established in them, and remain so until the end. We do not allow ourselves to be unsettled by anyone or anything, for we have found rest in God through faith in Jesus Christ our Lord. Let us read verse 7 again. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. That is the condition. Only the chosen multitude that has remained within the bounds of the word will be crowned with success. For only that which is in conformity with God and God's word can the Lord bring to completion. The Lord cannot tolerate a mixture of human words and God's word. The time of mixing is over. Think of the days of Ezra, Nehemiah or Zerubbabel, when the people of Israel returned from their 70-year captivity to rebuild the Lord's temple, then all mixed peoples had to be separated. Clear boundaries were established within the Church of the Living God. When others came and wanted to join in or even help out, the brother said, "No, we'll do that. You have no part in it." Some also wished to help with the building, only to be present at the destruction afterwards. There are various people who interfere and wish to be involved for various reasons. At the end, God will no longer permit any mixing of the clear and true revelation of the Word and the truly thorough teaching of Holy Scripture. That had to come first. But now the same must follow within the Church. No more mixing, but complete clarity and truth in all things, just as God has said in His Word, and as it is now being brought to a conclusion. Still in the same book of Joshua, this passage here, perhaps verse 9, "Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you in all that you undertake." Yes, what was Joshua to undertake? Did he have his own undertakings? No. He was acting on God's behalf to cross over at that time in the name of the Lord and in accordance with the promised word, with the people of God, the covenant people, into the promised land. But do you notice encouragement time and again? Be strong and resolute. Be courageous and be strong. Time and again, these words of encouragement, they do me good. For even servants of God are sometimes downcast. They ask themselves, "How shall we go on, Lord?" And then the answer, "Be strong, be courageous, be resolute." And when such a remark comes from the Lord's mouth, then strength flows into us. New trust, new confidence in the Lord. For we know, after all, that it is His cause we stand for. "Have not I commanded thee, be strong and courageous?" God called Joshua to fulfill his duty, not only to the duty of preserving, heeding, teaching, and setting before the people all that he had given to Moses. God charged him with the duty to be resolute, to be strong, and to press on. And he said, "Do not be afraid, and do not lose heart." And why not? "For the Lord your God is with you in everything you undertake." And what was he to undertake? Simply to cross over into the promised land according to God's plan. His undertaking was God's undertaking. His ways were God's ways. His decisions were God's decisions. He had been placed among God's people with a divine commission. And then, "Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, be courageous, for the Lord thy God is with thee." Have you all read that? "For the Lord is with you. Your God in everything you do. He could only do what was in God's plan, and that is why God could be with him. Beloved, let us not be presumptuous, but let us acknowledge this with gratitude and say that we wish only to be found within God's plan, so that we may have the certainty, or rather the assurance, that he can be with us for the sake of his word. He was not with Joshua for Joshua's sake, but for the sake of the word that had been entrusted to Joshua. And ultimately, it was neither about Moses nor about Joshua, but about the entire people of God who had been laid out so that they might enter the land promised to Abraham in accordance with a promise and take possession of the inheritance. It is exactly the same today. It is not about Brother Branham. And one could almost say today, just as back then, I can well remember, was it the 5th or the 6th of January, 1966, when the call came from the USA, William Branham is dead. Here God said, my servant Moses is dead. What does that trigger? A whole world collapses. A man of God is no more. Through whom shall God speak? Through whom shall he work? How shall things go on? And already courage may wane. But behold, God is not dead. It is said of the servants of God in Psalm 82, you are all gods, yet you shall die like men. Men of God are human too, and they must die when their time comes. But God lives from everlasting to everlasting, and that is why his plan has continued uninterrupted. We are living in the time when all the promises given previously are being fulfilled and realized. Can you rejoice in this? Can you truly believe with all your heart that we are now in the final phase of God's plan of salvation before the return of Jesus Christ? Can you believe that the Exodus can only have meaning if we are led into the promised land and come into possession of all things through a divine restitution which he has promised? Only then will God's word have been confirmed as true in our midst. And let all who have ears hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. It was indeed not a William Branham or others who presented their program, but God used them so that his plan might be made known to mankind. We should wake up, and as I said before, be like the man who succeeded Elijah, namely Elisha. He had to stop. There may be stages through which we too must pass, we who have heard the prophetic message. But if one were to tell us, here are disciples of the prophets, in one place there were even sons of the prophets who came and prophesied, do you know that your Lord is about to be taken up from above your head, and so on? Even there, he should have stayed where the prophecy was spoken. He did not stay. He left the sons of the prophet and went with the one who had the word of the hour. Beloved, that is what matters. And it was not a matter of following a man. Look, even this trial, as it has just been laid upon my heart, was indeed one of the hardest. Prophecies were spoken along this way, always prophecies. This man of God, who had burned all his bridges behind him, did not stay where prophecies were spoken. He went on until the goal was reached. for he had a promise. If you see the Lord taking me up, then a double portion shall be yours. How could he stay behind to see what happened somewhere else? No, march on and follow the Lord, no matter whom he sends, until we witness what God has promised. And we say in faith that the Lord is indeed ordering all things, even in these days. For some people, it may be a mess, but not for the true believers. Amidst all the interpretations and directions and explanations, however the wind may blow, there is a flock founded on the Word of God, which has not built its house on sand, but on the rock. A flock that knows in whom it believes, that has heard his voice, received his word, and is part of his work in these days. And let it be said once more, God cannot go in many different directions. He has always had one main direction in which he walked, and all who wished to walk with him had to stick to the direction he had set, and all other directions had to be abandoned. May God help us. And perhaps I say this deliberately, but I say it before the living God. By grace, the Lord has kept us balanced on the narrow path that leads to life, without having to or wanting to stay to the right or left. We have remained in what God has revealed to us and made clear through the prophetic message. It is to remain so until the end, and it will remain so until the end. You know, it will not succeed to don just any robe. No, the word of the Lord is sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces through. Tell me, and tell the Lord too, do you like to hear God's word? Does God's word have something to say to you? Do you agree with it? Is there a yes in your heart? Do you understand the divine direction? Are you part of this divine direction? Oh, may the Lord grant us all grace, that we may all take new courage, not lose heart, but believe, as Scripture says, knowing he who began, he will also finish unto the day of his glorious return, which is very, very near. Only his divine direction will lead us to the destination. And we do not make this claim of our own accord, just as Joshua and Moses and no prophet could claim it for themselves. We merely bear witness to having found grace before God and to being placed within the divine work in accordance with the word and the promises in our days. We have respect for God, reverence for his word, for all the decisions he makes, and for all his work which he has undertaken, and as we said, is bringing to completion in our days. May everyone, including those who are among us for the first time this weekend, be gripped by the word, be convinced by the Spirit of God, and know that God is present and that he has spoken to us through his word. And this is the moment when we must listen, receive, and believe. Then, the final word, it shall not return void, but shall accomplish that for which God sent it. Even today, on this day, God's word will accomplish what he sent it to do in all those who have received it, who have believed it, and who look forward to the fulfillment of the divine promises. We shall see in our further reflection that nothing can resist the Lord. When He fulfills His promises, then the walls of Jericho will fall. Then everything must submit to His will. Then He is active and effective in His sovereignty. And everything that stands in His way must simply be cleared away, so that He may have His way with us all. The Lord calls out to us all, be strong, be courageous, do not lose heart, be resolute. Even if the end is tarrying, hold fast to this. It will surely come, and God will do what He has promised, provided we stand on the ground of divine promises. For only in this way can God bring them to fulfillment in us and through us. Blessed and praised be His glorious name. I know that important decisions were made during this service, and I know that we are aware that it was not a human being who gave a lecture, but God who spoke to us through His word. And this word shall not return void, but shall accomplish that for which the Lord sent it. To Him, the living God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Moses and Joshua, the God of all the prophets, the true, only living God, be praise and honor for all eternity. He is present. He is in our midst. Blessed are all who sense this, who believe it, and who open their hearts to receive what He had to say to us in this service. May His blessing be upon us all. Amen. Let us stand and give thanks to the Lord together. We bow our heads. We open our hearts before God. He calls, He urges. May I ask whether there are some here today in this service who have truly been spoken to, whether for the first time, the second, or some other time, but you feel that it is the Lord who is urgently urging and speaking. It is really about everything. And if it is the case that God's word has reached your heart, do not delay any longer, but come to the Lord now. Everyone must eventually take the first step and make their decision for Christ, to follow Him, to dedicate their life to Him and all that goes with it. And others may make their decision to walk with the Lord without turning to the right or the left, but walking the straight path of God, the highway of the redeemed, as described in Isaiah 35. Whilst we remain in silent prayer, please have the courage to briefly raise your hand and lower it again if you wish to be included in the prayer. God bless. Hallelujah. God bless. Hallelujah. Praise be to the Lord. Here I see the man I met in Moscow, originally from Czechoslovakia. God bless him. A nuclear physicist, a man of reputation, rank and renown. Today he's here, raising his hand to dedicate his life to God. Beloved, The Lord is at work through His Word and through His Spirit. Today, if you hear His voice, tell me, what are we waiting for? Must an angel come down from heaven? Must someone rise from the dead? The Lord has risen from the dead. He lives. He sends His servants at all times. And we do not stand in our own name. We stand here in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we call out, Be ye reconciled to God. Receive the divine message, and the Lord will be with you. Let us leave our own ways, our own thoughts. Let us return to the Lord, that He may heal us and make known His ways, and that He may also reveal His deeds. Perhaps there are still young people here, whilst all heads are bowed and all eyes are closed. Who still has the courage to raise a hand? You feel that God is calling you. Now you should come forward and say yes. Who else wishes to raise their hand to consecrate their life to God? Is there anyone else here? Thank you. God bless you. Praise be to the name of the Lord, our God. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Let us all pray, whoever can pray. And may the Lord grant it to those who cannot yet. Just say, Lord, teach us to pray. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, with all our hearts, we thank you. In the precious name of Jesus of Nazareth, for your holy presence, for your living, clear, and holy word, for the work of your Holy Spirit. You reveal the connections, you comfort, you strengthen, you encourage your people. Hallelujah. The people who have heard the prophetic message will have part in God's work. Lord, we thank you and we praise you. We have taken the promises into our hearts, and they now carry us across into the land of divine promise to witness the reality, the fulfillment of all that God has promised. Hallelujah. Praise, honor, and glory to you, the living God, the living God. Shout for joy to Him. Shout for joy to His name. Praise, glorify, and worship Him. Hallelujah. Lord, you are worthy. You are worthy to receive praise, glory, honor, and worship. Hallelujah. Lord, we consecrate to you all those who have consecrated themselves to you. They are entrusted to you. You have called them, accepted them. You blotted out their guilt, forgiven their sins, and through your Spirit, you give certainty to their spirits that they have become children of God. Beloved Lord, we thank you that you said, Whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. No, Lord, you call and we come. We are with you and safe in you. Hallelujah. Lord, you have accepted them all. You have forgiven them. The blood of the Lamb cleanses us from every sin, from every stain, from every wrinkle. Beloved Lord, may you have your way also with those who still hesitate, who do not yet have complete clarity regarding the fulfillment of your plan of salvation in our days. May they leave this service with a certainty that it is not a human being, but God, who has been, is and will be at work in these days until he has finished his work and can return as the bridegroom to bring the bride home. Lord, once again I thank you for your presence, for the work of your Holy Spirit. Today the scales have fallen from the eyes of many. They have understood what this is all about. Their hearts were burning as you spoke to us. Hallelujah. Praise, honor, and glory to your wonderful name, now and forevermore. Hallelujah. Amen.